760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. And you all bring that joy to us as well. So I am Allison DeLule. I'm here with my co-host, Josh Harris. Good morning.
Hi.
And Dave Savage.
Hello.
How are y'all doing?
Oh, Dave's from London today.
Hello.
Hello, Governor.
I'm like, what was that?
That's the standard accent in Beaufort, am I correct?
It is. Yeah.
Or is it Flowery Branch? Where are you, Beaufort or Flowery Branch?
Real close to both.
Okay.
Technically Beaufort,
yeah. By the way, those are the two accents I feel like I could be, like...
Beaufort and Flowery Branch?
Not Beaufort. No, you can keep that accent. But like British and what was the other one? British and Irish. Where if someone like mugged me, it would feel like a pleasant experience if they were in that accent. I'm gonna need your money. Well, I'm scared. Don't worry, we'll get through this together.
That was so not Irish.
I don't even know how to do it. Dave could do it.
We'll get Vito in here. He can
yes!
do it.
Accents?
Oh, he does a ton of accents.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, Vito's going
to
be coming back. So when he comes back, we'll have to ask him.
A master class on accents because it's. I don't know. Like sometimes I can do it, but there's tricks. I think to really nail them because I can't. Do it on command, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he can. He's good. For the next time he's in here, we'll have him do some accents.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we need to start this thing off the holy way and actually in line with the novena for Pope Francis. So I'll say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is day 5 of the USCCB novena for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis. Strengthen your brothers is the title. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and die for you. But Jesus replied, I tell you, Peter, before the clock crows this day, you will deny three times that you knew me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. Grant, we pray, Lord, the soul of Pope Francis, your servant priest, whom you honored with the sacred office while he lived in this world, may exalt forever in the glorious home of heaven through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, and if y'all are interested, check out or just Google USCCB Novena for Pope Francis.
And what is U? What does that stand for?
United Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Perfect.
United States.
Yeah. Council of Catholic Bishops. Yeah, you can get the daily readings there. There's a lot of great information.
Yeah, that's where I do my Sunday. Like when I'm in Mass, I always go to that one for the Sunday readings.
Nice. So, yep.
I thought you were about to say for the homily. I'm like, wait a minute. You're not paying attention to Father up there?
Absolutely.
Would you pipe down, Father? I'm trying to read today's reflection from... No, you don't do that. I'm just kidding. Speaking of faith, you saw something that was pretty encouraging.
Well,
with faith,
my wife and I watched, you know, like The Voice and American Idol and stuff. And so we were a little bit behind. We didn't see it when it aired live on Easter evening. And... But the whole theme, it was a 3-hour special. It was all songs of faith, which I thought was really cool that they did. You know, secular.
Yes. It takes courage.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I was glad to see some of the contestants. You know, they were praising Jesus, and you know they
really?
Get done with their performance and pointing up to heaven,
God.
And yeah, it was. And Carrie Underwood opened it up with just an amazing
version. Yeah, you were sharing a little bit about that with us.
Great
that
thou
was
art.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
song in general is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I even saw a picture. I mean, some of one of the judges was standing up and holding his hands in the air, giving praise to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess a mentor, but still, it was like, wow, that's. That's, you know, the spirit's moving.
Yeah.
And even in the secular world.
And I love seeing that in the secular world. Another thing, speaking of the secular, you know, Christian things in the secular world, the Carlo Acutis movie, which...
Yes.
So I finally figured I wanted to take the family to go see it.
Yes.
And so around my house, the closest one, it was playing at the Mall of Georgia.
Okay.
But then it ended yesterday at the Mall of Georgia. So we figured out that it's some theaters, it's still going on until tomorrow, but other ones, it ended yesterday.
So limited theaters through the first. Yeah, so it's still playing.
I've got to drive to Suwannee to go see it.
Yes, it's not far from it's worth it.
It's only at 4:30, though. There's no evening shows. So here's the thing. I was thinking about this on the way in today. I want to go partly because, you know, mostly because I want to see the movie, but also to show these movie theaters that, this type of material, you can make money doing this, you know?
Yes. Or, you know, it's needed. There are people out there that want it. So,
and if
we go when it's out in the theaters, that really speaks volume.
Mm-hmm.
And the website you can go to see where it is playing near you is carloacutisfilm.com. So, yeah, go to that website and, put your zip code in and it can tell you where it's still playing.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely worth checking out big time. And it will certainly bless you. And remind you that, again, sainthood is possible for all ages.
Amen to that.
Amen. Well, we got a great show coming up today. Trisha Bora, parishioner at St. Bridget's in Johns Creek and guest speaker for the upcoming Magnificat Women's Prayer Breakfast at Holy Cross Church will be blessing us with her presence. Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, will be unpacking today's gospel. Our buddy Chuck Persner will help us get acquainted with Pope Pius V, St. Pope Pius. And coming up next, Linda Rose, a Marian servant and parishioner at St. Bridget's in Johns Creek and founder of Strength for Your Journey Ministries, is here to talk about her upcoming women's retreat taking place at Heritage May 16th.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Linda Rose Ingrassano. She is the founder of Strength for Your Journey Ministries, where the purpose is to have an experience with God on your journey. And she is here to talk about her upcoming retreat at Heritage Retreat Center in Sharon, Georgia, taking place May 16th through the 18th, where the focus is experiencing God in your life. So welcome to The Quest, Linda.
Thank you.
We are so glad you're with us. And I'd love to know a little more about yourself and how the Lord led you to where you are today.
Oh, wow. That's a very big job. First of all, let me just let you know that I am a blessed daughter of the King of the universe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, I came to the Lord, and I would say the Lord found me in the middle of very many trials, traumas, heartache, disappointment, loss, and grief. And He taught me so many beautiful things. And I say that the things that He taught me were ways to walk in the kingdom, which is, we know, opposite than this world.
Correct.
So I'll share a little bit. So one of my children was born with multiple heart defects, and he had his first experimental surgery when he was 3 days old, and he has had 8 experiments over a 28-year period. He is alive today, praise God.
Praise God.
And throughout this time, I kept being told that he would not live through the surgery, and praise God, he did every time. So during that time and afterward, and I always loved to sing, so the Lord brought me into a singing ministry, Linda Rose and Company, and I wrote music and sang with great musicians throughout South Florida for about 30 years. I began to write retreats, because I met the living Christ. And when I tell you I met Him, I saw Him. I met Him. Wow. He is alive. Amen.
Amen.
And being Italian, when I met him, I went out in the streets, no exaggeration, screaming, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
And then I came back and I was reading the scripture and it was like hitting me in the face. It was like I read it before, but it was like alive now. Mm-hmm. And one of the major things that the Lord gave me while I was going through my son's surgeries, it was the night before and I was reading the Psalms. And I saw in the Psalms, praise and thank me in all things. Mm-hmm. And that word all, and in New York, it's all. I said all things, mm-hmm. all things. So I said, are you kidding me? How can I praise you for this? This is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Well, I ended up finally doing that. And the result was so much grace. I can't explain it. I woke up the next day. I was able to take my little 5-year-old son and walk him in. That praise and thank me in all things has been like a mantra for me. I became a spiritual companion certified at St. Thomas University in Miami. Mm-hmm. Then I became a certified spiritual director from Steubenville in Clearwater.
Yeah.
I'm a Marian servant. The Lord kept bringing me through many things. I experienced divorce. I experienced being homeless mm-hmm. a couple of times. I experienced loss of my home and my dad who drowned in a tragic boating accident.
Wow.
So there's been a lot, and I kept that mantra, praise and thank God. Mm-hmm. And I can't even tell you. It's what I call walking in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's like being behind the veil. So I have such a desire to pass that on to people. And I find that that's what I've been doing for the last, as my brother says, decades. Because I have a lot to look back on. So that's who I am.
No, that's beautiful. And that kind of ties into my question for you. What inspired the idea for this women's retreat? But I can kind of see where we're coming with that, with all the trials and just showing people how God is present and praise him in everything.
Yes, I feel like that's what I do in my life. And I prayed probably fervently, please, Lord, make me into the woman that you created me to be, mm-hmm. not the one that I think I am. Actually, I switched that to thank you, Lord, for making me into that woman, because I reminded myself. But yeah, I was invited to go out to that beautiful Heritage Center before it was finished. And because I'm an artist type person, when I saw this 200-acre land out in nature, mm-hmm. and then learned about the fact that they hired artists and the way that it's so anointed out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so inspired. So I took those gardens and I wrote meditations and questions for the women or men, whoever go there, but I'm doing a women one, to look into from God's eyes your life.
Wow.
And how did he bring you along? And what is he saying to you now about your life? And it's amazing. I mean, that retreat is set up where the birth of Jesus through the Rosary Garden with Mary, then you go into the Sorrowful Garden talking about his life and Mary's sorrows.
Yes.
And then you go to the Resurrection Garden. It's like the whole ministry, the whole life of Jesus. And so it's so powerful. And on this retreat, God will speak to you, whether it's going through the gardens, mm-hmm. whether it is going through confession, mm-hmm. having Mass, being in fellowship with all of us, singing. We have singing and praising. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful.
Wow.
Plus, of course, you're in what I call a 5-star Airbnb. Yes. The beds are so comfy and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place and it's so great you're coupling that with such a wonderful mission. So what is the main goal or mission of this retreat?
Well, it's like I've been making my life's work on, and that is to try to help you to experience God in your life, because he's there,
mm-hmm.
because he was always there, even when you thought he wasn't. He was always there because he loves you, and I love that. He loves you. He made a plan for you, and it's for good in Jeremiah. I love that.
Yes.
And a lot of us, myself included, don't realize that when we're going through our trials. We feel like we're alone. We feel like there is no hope because we're looking from our own minds. And that's another thing. I always say you have to surrender your mind, surrender your imaginations, surrender your judgments, your thoughts, everything. Surrender it. Because walking in the kingdom, being behind the veil, is opposite what you know, and we can't understand the Lord.
Amen. So, Linda, where can we get more information about your upcoming women's retreat taking place in May?
Okay, so you can email info@sfyjm.org. It's strengthforyourjourneyministries.org. Or you can go to my own, which is linda@lindarose.net. Or you can call me. I'd love to talk with you. 727-331-9929. I also have books that if you can't come on the retreat, it's called Strength for Your Journey, and it's a year-long devotional. And I use it with my directees all the time, and they love it. I have another one, Invitation to Intimacy with God, which is a 30-day challenge to read scripture and meditate, and you can find them on Amazon.
Thank you so much, Linda, for sharing this beautiful ministry you have and this wonderful opportunity for women to grow closer to the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Morning Quest traffic.
In Fulton County over in Buckhead, I-75 southbound after Mount Perrin Road, exit 256, there is an accident and the left three lanes are blocked. Also, Coweta County in Noonan, there is an accident at Highway 27, both eastbound and westbound at Ashley Woods Drive. Also in Cobb County, Marietta, there is an accident reported. I-75 southbound at Canton Road connector, exit 267. Also in Cobb County and Marietta, there is an accident. The right shoulder is blocked at I-75 southbound at South Marietta Parkway, exit 263. And DeKalb County, there is an accident at Stevenson Road at South Destin Road as well. Allison DeLuel, Questlanda Traffic.
And on the horizon, Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Pope Pius V. Trisha Bohr, a parishioner at St. Bridget's in Johns Creek and guest speaker for the upcoming Magnificat Women's Breakfast at Holy Cross Catholic Church, is going to be talking about her journey. But next, our friend Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ, our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, will be unpacking today's gospel.
And might I say, the gospel today is probably the most well-known gospel in the whole secular world.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
Buckle up.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
I'm Dr. Marcus Peter. Coming up at 5 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest, join me for Ave Maria in the afternoon. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:20.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ, our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, is back, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you guys for having me back. Always a pleasure, and this is an exciting gospel to have. Probably one of the most famous ones. We're going to read right from John 3:16.
Oh, wow.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Amen.
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 Probably one of the most famous gospel verses ever. Everybody knows John 3:16.
Yes.
I want to tell you something about this one, but before I do, I want to tell you the direction I'm taking this is... So as I'm reading this John 3:16, I'm thinking about what I'm going to tell everybody today. I want everyone to know that as important as this scripture passage is, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If that's as important as it is, and it is, then it's not just here that God wants to tell you that. He's going to reiterate that message in every way he possibly can, through every medium, every venue, every chance he gets throughout the religious and secular world. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you a story, and this is a true story. If anybody out there doubts me, you can go home, look it up, Google this. Every word I'm about to tell you is 100% true. It's all documented, and it's all verifiable. Okay? On January 8th, 2009, you guys know who Tim Tebow is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tim Tebow, on January 8th, 2009, he's a football player, for those who don't know. Played for, I don't know who he played for then, but he played for the Broncos when all this happened. But he wrote John 3:16 in his eye black. So the football players have the black paint under their eyes.
Yes.
For the sun and stuff. So in white, he put John 3:16 there. And it was great. People loved it. That's wonderful. He's expressing his faith. But the powers that be were like, yeah, no. We don't really want you doing all that, you know? Because there's always this backlash. There's always this pushback against people who want to express their Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And so he was obedient. He said, whatever, that's fine. January 8th, 2012, exactly 3 years to the day, God responded to that message. Mm. On that game, Tim Tebow accumulated John 3:16. It was 3 years to the day that he put 3:16 on his eye. On that game, Tebow accumulated 316 passing yards.
Wow.
He had an exact average of 31.6 yards per completion.
Whoa.
The Steelers finished the game with a time possession of 31 minutes and 6 seconds.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
The game's ratings peaked between 8 and 8:15 with a high rating of 31.6.
What?
The Steelers threw the only interception in the game that the Broncos intercepted in the second quarter at the third down 16-yard line.
No way.
Oh, my goodness.
That day and the next day, John 3:16 was the most searched term on all of Google.
Wow.
And the following week, the NFL aired a 30-second commercial where children read the verse John 3:16.
Oh, my gosh.
What? The NFL?
Yeah, he was playing the NFL at that time. Yeah, I don't know if the NFL, it was their commercial, but it was aired during the game.
Oh,
next week.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was a Christian group that put it together and paid for it.
But how had I never heard of this? This is amazing.
It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And I just heard about this not too long ago. The way I found out, I guess Tim Tebow, I guess nobody really realized, put the dots together at first, and he was doing an interview, and his publicist or his agent or whoever came up to him and said, hey, today is like 3 years it's 3 years from the day you first put John 3:16 on your eyes. And he said, oh, that's pretty cool. And he said something about 316 passing yards. And then from that point, people started looking closer at the game, and they started realizing, oh, it was 31.6 here, 31 minutes, 6 seconds. If it was one or two things, okay, fine. Maybe it's just a coincidence. All of that combined, you cannot tell me God is not trying to tell people that I love you so much, I gave you my only begotten son.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that is God working in our lives right there. I mean, that's how powerful this verse is. John 3:16. I mean,
and I
don't know what else I can say about it.
it's like a sledgehammer of love, what you just talked about,
yes.
Father.
Yes.
And I think what just came to my mind is you're talking about this. Isn't what you just said very significant of Scripture? Here's what I mean. There's this one moment, and okay, that's cool. But then you dig deeper and you realize the wellspring of understanding and encouragement and depth and wisdom is just limitless. And I'm not saying that investigating all the coincidences here is going to feed your soul. John 3:16 will, and similar to the Bible, you think you might understand it because there's one thing that looks interesting or might seem like a God incidence, but then when you dig deeper, you realize I've just scratched the surface. And isn't that the same with the Scriptures?
Absolutely. I mean, everything. The Scriptures, they're for all people of all time.
Yeah.
And so you can't have a book or a saying or a passage that is so specific to it wouldn't have stood the test of time if it didn't transcend time itself. And so to do that, you have to have something deeper. You have to have something so deep that we can't even comprehend how deep it goes, because, you know, I don't know, we don't know what the world's going to look like 10,000 years from now. But what I do know is that whatever it looks like, they're going to be able to take these words and feed their soul with it, you know, in ways that we don't see right now.
That's so moving, Father. You always find the most creative ways to unpack these readings. And one other thing I just feel encouraged by, you said, you cannot tell me that isn't God. And how encouraging is that through God? Like, he is not limited to one platform of advertisement or communication, right? He is not up there and like, well, my Wi-Fi router is a little slow, so I guess I'm going to have to send telegrams down to Earth. God can work through electronics. He can work through digital. He can work through television. There is no way to contain his love.
He works. He is constantly at work. I mean, we have a living faith, a living God, not a stagnant. And he is constantly working all around us. In fact, you know, you talk about telegrams, and I'll tell you this one last little story. You know, my understanding was that God wanted to know so badly how many people in this world were ready to come to him. He sends out an angel to take a tally, and the angel comes back to God and he says, God, 90% of the people are not worthy. Only about 10% of the people are worthy enough to come. And he said, well, that can't be right. So he sends another angel to double check. Oh, it's even worse than that, God. He said, only about 5% are worthy. 95% of this world could not make it to heaven if they were to leave right now. And God gets worried. And he says, well, send the 5% all an email. Do you know what that email said?
What?
Oh, you didn't get one?
Father.
I'm just kidding. It's in your it's probably in your spam folder.
After that, what's a good takeaway for this beautiful gospel today?
I would say, other than check your email, I would say a great takeaway is just to realize that you know, I think what everybody should do is go home and reread this gospel and just sit with it. And I think the takeaway, there's so many you could have, but a takeaway would be to realize that, you know, whatever you're going through, that God is in all things, he is trying to speak to you. And ultimately the thing he is trying to tell you is how much he loves you. And the fact that he gave his son for you. Go back, read John 3:16, and just reflect. And you'll see, if you reflect long enough, you're going to see, you don't have to be Tim Tebow with all these amazing statistics. You know, if you reflect on your life long enough, you will find all these little God moments where he has been speaking to you all along.
That's so beautiful. And to piggyback on your beautiful message from last week, perhaps do that in front of the tabernacle or in Eucharistic adoration and realize you are talking to him.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ, our King and Savior. You did it again.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
You too, Father.
It is 8:30, and in his final full year as Pope, Pope Francis drew over 1.6 million people to the Vatican, to Vatican events. New numbers show 518,000 attended his general audiences in 2024. 620,000 came for the Sunday Angelus prayers, and hundreds of thousands more joined him for masses and special visits, totaling over 1.68 million faithful. All in all, more than 34 million people participated in his events with him during his 12-year pontificate. His final public meeting was on Easter Sunday, 2025, with U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance. The Pope passed away the next morning, though through every crowd and quiet moment, he remained a shepherd, ending each Angelus with, enjoy your lunch. Arrivederci. And as the church prepares to elect a new pope, 10 American cardinals will cast their votes in the upcoming conclave, one of the largest national groups in the College of Cardinals.
Their presence highlights a growing global influence in the U.S. church. Among them are voices from both traditional and progressive wings, ranging from outspoken defenders of the church to teachers and, to defenders of more social justice. Together, they represent a wide range of theological and pastoral priorities that could help, direct the future of the papacy. So send some prayers to the conclave, and you can actually adopt a cardinal in prayer. This conclave begins May 7th inside the Sistine Chapel. As the world watches, let us pray as a church. On the horizon, we have our friend Tricia Bora, parishioner at St. Bridget's in Johns Creek, guest speaker for the upcoming Women's Magnificat Prayer Breakfast happening May 17th. She's here talking about her journey. But before that, Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Pope Pius V.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:35.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chucky.
All right, optional memorial today on April 30th, the great Pope St. Pius V.
Mm.
And I could not think of a better way to start this segment than to begin with a little story time, Allison.
Okay.
Story time, Josh.
We're ready.
I'm going to take you back to the year 1571 on October 7th, the Ottoman Empire attacked Venice at the Battle of Lepanto. And they were intent on destroying Christianity forever, as we know. When this now legendary battle was on the brink of being waged, the Ottoman Empire had not lost a major confrontation since the previous century.
Wow.
And they provoked many battles over the course of that 75-plus year stretch. So why would you not? I mean, if you're going to win every time, you'll continue to push the envelope. And if imperialism and world domination is the name of the game, you're going to continue to pick fights, right? Their winning streak on this particular day did not appear to be in the slightest bit of jeopardy. This would be a naval battle fought on the high seas. It was believed that the Ottomans had upwards of 10 ships in their fleet for every one ship that the Christians sailed into battle.
Oh, wow.
So this was an enormous advantage for the Ottomans and hopelessly outnumbered. Pope Pius V, our saint today, urged everyone in his fleet to pray the rosary, and they did. In fact, that evening before the famous battle, the sailors prayed the rosary on their knees together.
Wow.
Pretty powerful image, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yep. Led by the legendary Don Juan, who led them into battle. I should also point out Pius V prayed tirelessly in advance of this battle. He fasted 3 days a week in advance of this battle. So once again, we see saints turning to prayer and fasting, which were the virtues that we were looking to cultivate during this recently completed Lenten season.
Yes.
On the day of the battle, it is believed that over 400 warships were engaged. And as things predictably intensified, something inexplicable happened. The wind shifted radically at a pivotal moment, and it did so in a way that was advantageous to the Christian fleet, once again led by Don Juan.
Yeah.
And as the wind shifted, so too did the momentum. And the Ottoman Empire was soundly and quite miraculously defeated on this day. This despite their enormous advantage in size and firepower. It would mark the first major victory of a Western Christian fleet against the Ottoman Empire. And for the Muslims, the results were just utterly catastrophic. Mm. Approximately 40,000 men died in 4 hours.
Wow.
Think about that. That's about 166 deaths per minute.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
By far the highest casualty rate of any battle until World War I, sadly enough. It remains the largest naval defeat inflicted against the Muslims in history. And on the heels of this stunning victory, Pope Pius V declared this day the Feast of Our Lady of Victory. And this is in the year 1572. And this is just one of his accomplishments, in which he offered thanksgiving to our Blessed Mother, who appeared to Pope Pius in a vision prior to the battle, ensuring victory. So they went into this knowing they couldn't lose.
Yeah.
Despite the numbers, despite being massive underdogs.
Wow.
You know, think, you know, the 1969 Miracle Mets, for anyone who's old enough to remember that one, when they beat the Baltimore Orioles. I'm not even old enough to remember that one. I've only read about it. But anyway, a year later, the memorial was renamed Our Lady of the Rosary. A few years later, actually. So that's really where we kick off this discussion. Pius V was born Antonio Gislieri in the year 1504. He was from a poor but noble family. A career as a tradesman would have otherwise been his fate, but he was instead taken in by the Dominicans of Voghera as a young boy, where he received a good education and was trained in the way of austerity and piety. He entered the order, was ordained in 1528, a priest, and it was there that he taught theology and philosophy for 16 years.
Oh,
so clearly,
wow.
This was a very bright man.
Yes.
in addition to the many things he would go on to accomplish as Pope. And in the meantime, he was the master of the novices. Many occasions was elected prior of different houses of his order as he moved from order from house to house, really. Strove to develop the practice of the monastic virtues and spread the spirit of the Holy Founder himself. And he was truly an example to it all. Fasting, doing penance, passing long hours of night and meditation. This would be really his calling card. He would ultimately go on to become Pope in the year 1566. And it was on January 7th that the white smoke billowed out of the Vatican chimney. Just trying to get everybody ready for that image. We're going to be seeing that happen soon. In fact, very soon, as the conclave will begin shortly. And just some papal highlights, just to kind of give you an idea of how profound this man was. He implemented the decrees of the Council of Trent. No easy task. He standardized the Roman Rite, a Tridentine liturgy.
Which would remain unchanged for centuries.
That's right. And what was probably one of his easier decisions, he declared St. Thomas Aquinas a saint.
Oh, wow.
And as you were commenting before we came on the air, he excommunicated Queen Elizabeth I of England for heresy and her persecution of English Catholics during her reign. As mentioned, he did institute the Feast of Our Lady of Victory to celebrate this unbelievable victory on the high seas at the Battle of Lepanto. And he also added to the Litany of Loretto, kind of an interesting under-the-radar thing, the supplication, Mary, Help of Christians.
Mm.
So you get that from time to time. He officially approved the 15-decorated form of the rosary. As we know, another pope would come along later, and I think it was the year 2002. Mm-hmm. That would be, of course, Pope John Paul II. He would give us the Luminous Mystery and take it to 20. And there you have it. A very interesting saint and a man that I certainly would love to know more about. Mm-hmm. You know, we only scratched the surface on these saints during these eight-minute segments, but just a truly amazing man.
And also, I have some quotes here. He said, all the evils of the world are due to lukewarm Catholics. And I mean, didn't in scripture it said either be hot or be cold?
Right, or I will spit you out. Right?
Yes.
In the book of Revelation, if you are lukewarm. And it's something for us to reflect upon. Where are we? Are we lukewarm or are we
hot or cold, right? Yeah. And then also, oh, Lord, increase my sufferings and my patience. And I love that quote, because how easy is it during suffering times to be not patient?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, let this be done. Or just frustration.
Yeah, if you're going to be brave enough to ask God to increase your sufferings, you better ask for patience, too. You're going to need it.
Amen.
That's wisdom right there.
I think it's so great, too, that he, of course, promoted the rosary. That power and that grace comes from God, but he gives us instruments to access those graces and feel him in profound ways. So, amazing message there. Speaking of which, here's a quote from him. The rosary is a weapon for these times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
how about that?
Yep. And in later years, Pope Pius IX would tell us, give me an army of people praying the rosary and I will conquer the world.
Yes.
And Pius V certainly conquered Lepanto that day.
Mm-hmm. There is a recurring theme about how much the rosary means in the lives of a lot of saints. St. Mother Teresa was going through customs. I believe they asked if she had any weapons on her, and she pulled out a rosary and put it on there.
Amen.
That's classic. I love that. Yeah.
Amen, amen. And again, the rosary, reflection of Christ's life.
Yeah,
and Our Lady.
It's a great, great way to plumb the depths of these mysteries in silence, you know, get away from all the noise.
Yes.
And to your point, Josh, there was one gentleman who came on the air recently here on AM 1160 The Quest, and he likened the rosary to a slingshot.
Oh,
the way that it's shaped. And we, of course, know that the slingshot plays a role in Chrysostom, and that David conquered Goliath with that slingshot. And that's how we conquer Satan, is with that slingshot.
Amen. Well, St. Pius V, he is a patron saint of Bosco, Marengo, Italy, his birthplace, and reverent liturgies. He is also considered the patron saint of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of Faith. And I wasn't really sure exactly what that meant.
So just tell us what that is.
Yeah. The Dicastery for the Doctrine of Faith is the Vatican office responsible for promoting and safeguarding Catholic doctrine on faith and morals. It helps the Pope and bishops uphold the integrity of Catholic teachings. The Dicastery also fosters understanding of the faith and provides guidance on on new ethical and social issues. So I learned something new today.
That's a very important group.
Oh, it is.
We need to pray for these people.
Really. Yes.
I'm sure it's a core of very well-educated, holy, devout, passionate people, and we need to pray for them because they hold in their hands a huge responsibility.
Or you could ask someone else to pray for them.
Pope Pius V.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It is 8:44, and I was just chatting with the guys moments ago when we were talking about a website as well as an app that can be added to your phone called masstimes.org. Were you all familiar with that?
Yes. I wasn't until you brought it up, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've used it all over the place. It's
and again,
great.
And I don't know, I mean, if everybody else out there knows about it, but it is an absolutely amazing website. And again, you can download the app when you're out of town on vacation. I mean, vacation time is coming up.
Yeah.
School's coming to a close.
Yeah, for people who don't know, I mean, it's a free online resource that helps Catholics quickly locate nearby churches,
and
masses, confessions, all the... Yeah.
Adoration even. It beats what I always have done is into my phone, I'll say, find a Catholic church near me.
Yeah.
And then I would find the church, and then I'd go to the church website and try to find out when the Mass was,
yeah.
And it's like, whoa, this is so much easier.
No, it is so amazing. I mean, it breaks down. You can put in when you want to go to Mass. If you want to go to daily Mass, Wednesday here at 6:30 a.m., and I put my zip code in, Woodstock, Georgia, it gives all the different parishes yeah. that have Masses at that time. So what a beautiful tool we have, people going on vacation. So really, there's no reason why we can't yeah. be worshiping God
exactly.
and being in His holy presence wherever we go in the world.
St. Andrew has a 9 o'clock. I'm going to take off.
Okay, Dave. Pray for us.
And you're not going. It's a reminder. We don't go on vacation from our vocation.
No.
Absolutely.
Well, and I know a lot of people are also travel teams, baseball teams. Guys, we have Mass everywhere. We have adoration mm-hmm. everywhere. So, yeah, masstimes.org, or you can download it to your Apple or Android. Yeah, great, great tool for all of us.
Don't forget that memory verse of the week, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Coming up, our friend Tricia Bora, parishioner of St. Bridget's in Johns Creek and guest speaker for the upcoming Magnificat Women's Prayer Breakfast at Holy Cross Catholic Church on May 17th, is here to talk about her journey.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. Back to the Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It is 8:48, and we are so happy to have Tricia Bora here. Again, she is a parishioner at St. Bridget's in Johns Creek, and she is going to be the guest speaker at the upcoming Magnificat Women's Prayer Breakfast taking place at Holy Cross Catholic Church in Atlanta on May 17th. And she's going to be talking to us about her journey. And Tricia, it's so neat because I've been to the Magnificat prayer breakfast before, and it's such a great experience for all women to attend and just grow closer to the Lord. So I am thrilled to have you here to talk about this. So welcome to The Quest.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we are thrilled.
Yeah, we are so pumped, and God bless you for sharing this incredible message with so many people. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So I live in Johns Creek with my husband, Todd, where we raised our two kids, Marissa and Jake, who are now adults. We've been parishioners at St. Bridget for about 25 years.
Wow.
So long-time parishioners.
Yeah.
I've been on staff there for about 20 of those years in different capacities, from a preschool teacher to now my current role, which is the coordinator for a teen and young adult ministry for individuals with intellectual disabilities.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That sounds great.
It's been just a joy and a blessing, and is one of the reasons why I was invited to speak at the Magnificat meal was to share not only how the Holy Spirit has been working in my life throughout my life, but in particular through this ministry.
That's got to be so
meaningful. So was there a particular moment or experience that made you realize God was calling you in a new direction?
Yes, there was one that I very clearly remember. So about 15 years ago, I attended a Christ Renews His Parish weekend.
Yeah.
At St. Bridget, CHIRP for short. It's not called that anymore, but I still call it CHIRP. And I'd just been on the weekend kind of on fire for my faith and ready to do something, as many people come out of that retreat weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting in Mass, and we were getting the annual report update about Mustard Seed Communities, which is a Catholic organization that provides homes for kids, teens, and adults with disabilities
yes.
in different countries.
Mm.
And St. Bridget has partnered for years with Mustard Seed Nicaragua to provide financial support and mission teams that go and visit and bring supplies every year. So sitting there hearing the update of the year about the kids and was just touched so deeply by the words that Dr. Al Norden was describing and the stories that he was telling about the children.
Yeah.
And just started sobbing. Aww. And like had this moment of, okay, Lord, I know that I'm supposed to be doing something. And then I actually started arguing with the Lord because I was terrified to fly. I was had a lot of fears about sickness, and I've never been out of the country. Yeah. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're asking me to go to Nicaragua? Why?
Wow.
So I left Mass, went straight to Daphne, who was the mission leader. Mm-hmm. I'm still crying. She probably thought that I was a little bit crazy, and told her that even though they were just getting ready to go in a few weeks on their trip that year, that I was going to go next year.
Wow. Like,
I'm ready to sign up. And little did I know that that initial invitation, that yes to that trip would just change kind of the trajectory of my path for the next, till now.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And, you know, many of us, so obviously it sounds like you've been led by the Spirit, you know, God is showing off. And many of us wonder how to know when the Holy Spirit has guided us. How have you recognized that guidance in your own life?
It's hard sometimes. One of the trips, shortly after that first trip, I was sitting in the bus in Nicaragua, just driving back and forth from our mission project. And I was talking with Deacon Leo, who's the deacon at St. Bridget, who was on the trip. And I was kind of struggling with, even though I'd been a few times to Nicaragua, why was God, like, what was my purpose? What was my reason? You know, was I being called to maybe adopt a child from Nicaragua, like some of the other families had, or just like, what was the plan here? And because I was loving my time there, but I was sensing there was something else. Mm. And so I said that to Deacon Leo, and he just had some really simple but kind of also profound advice, which was that the Lord will open a door, and our job is just to watch for those doors and then
yes.
take the next step. And so I think that's kind of from there, this series of doors opened that I just kept looking for and then kept praying for the courage to say yes, to take whatever that next step was.
That is beautiful. Because again, you just felt the Lord was opening something, and it seems like you weren't even familiar with these ministries, or you weren't active in any type of ministries like this until you went to Mustard Seed. Is that the case?
That's correct.
So out of the blue, you just felt called to go to Mustard Seed. The Lord knew exactly his plans for you, and you were obedient and docile to the Holy Spirit and took those trips. And I'm sure that's where a lot happened.
Yeah. And at the time, I really didn't have any experience with individuals with disabilities, direct experience.
Yeah.
And so it was really seeing the experience of the kids in Nicaragua and their unique challenges, and then coming back to Atlanta and looking for ways to get involved in the local community. And so at the time, St. Bridget had just started this ministry that I'm now the coordinator of.
Yeah.
And so I started getting involved just on a volunteer basis with that. And I'm looking for other ways in the local community to stay involved with the disabilities, with individuals with disabilities. And I just learned so much. And over the years, just those doors kept opening.
Well, and so how has your faith changed or grown through those people that you're serving in your ministry?
Wow. Well, that's a lot of what I'm going to be talking about.
Yeah.
On the 17th is it's hard to put into words just how much my faith has been impacted, but kind of what I share is that from, even though I was a cradle Catholic and had attended Mass in Catholic school, I really just didn't have quite an understanding of the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And so that's been a thread throughout this whole journey, is the Lord calling me to a closer relationship with him. And I really think it's through me witnessing the faith of some of these teens and young adults that are amazing that I would get to work with at St. Bridget. Also by learning to trust him more, by not only looking for those opportunities to say yes, but having the trust and the faith that he's going to provide the way for me to go forward.
Yes.
If I do say yes. And then just ultimately Christ revealing himself through each of the people that I'm working with, the teens, the young adults, their families, the volunteers. It's just been a really blessing. I feel like I'm the luckiest person alive.
Wow. I think one thing you shared is so applicable, the intersection of, you know, faith and reason, faith and opportunity. What I mean is, you know, some people are looking for a blinding light, but that, you know, this spiritual advisor, this deacon of yours said, just do the next thing that presents mm-hmm. itself, right? Yes. You didn't necessarily have to, you know, run through a wall. God opened a door.
Yes. And he continues to, even within the ministry, once I became the coordinator, it was, okay, what is the next needed thing? Mm-hmm. And really spending time talking with parents and the individuals themselves of what are we missing? You know, what are you desiring? Yeah. And that leading to other things that we're able to provide that I probably don't have time to talk about today, but I will, I think, in the future. Yes. About sensory friendly masses.
Absolutely.
And other things that we were able to offer. But yeah, just looking for what is that next needed thing.
Yeah, that's, and I've heard a phrase someone said, I don't try to figure out God's will, like in this complicated mm-hmm. jigsaw puzzle sort of way. I just do the next thing in front of me. And if it works out, that's God's will.
Yes. And if it doesn't, wrong direction, right?
Yeah. And of course, couple that with prayer and spiritual direction. But it's just a simple way to approach things. So thank you for that beautiful message.
And you know what? So I'm looking at the Magnificat ministry website. So if you're interested in going to this wonderful meal that they're going to be having, it's going to be Saturday, May 17th from 9:30 to 12:30. Go to the website magnificat-ministry.net and you can get more information about the organization here in Atlanta and also more information about Trisha and how you can register. And it looks like they want everybody to be registered by the 7th of May. So jump on that, look at your schedules and see if that works. But this sounds like a great, great time and what a great talk I'm sure you're going to give, Trisha.
Thank you so much. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
Yeah, thank you for your service and yes to God. Now, everybody, speaking of yeses to God, I want you to memorize this. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
You're going to get quizzed. You're going to pass.
Oh, I already knew it. I was about to say it, but you beat me to the punch.
You passed this week.
I'm picking
a long one next week. Okay. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.